Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
It's a Wednesday night.
And no, it's not. It's We Heart Worry. This is We Heart Worry.
It was good to give them some context. They probably go, what night was that recorded on at all?
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday night. We're both in our own homes.
Respective
homes. Doing this via Zoom.
Yes.
And this is We Heart Worry.
It's a comedy podcast about worry.
That voice you've just heard is the voice of Philippa Leonardo Dunn.
Leonardo Dunn, and that you just before you heard the other one, is Yasmin, Stephanie Akram. She's
close.
In her house. Yeah. What is your middle name?
Oh, you're gonna love this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Barbara.
Beautiful.
Confirmation name? Would you like confirmation name?
Oh yes, please.
Bridget.
Beautiful, Barbara Bridget. Gorgeous.
If I'd had an A for my first name, my initials would spell ABBA.
Oh, very nice.
But they don't. They spell Yubba.
Alas and alack, there was missed a trick there now.
What about yourself, Phil? What's the middle and confirmation name, please?
Anna Maria Elizabeth.
Anna Maria Elizabeth.
Anna Maria is the baptismal name.
Oh, my Lord, I love it.
Well, it is a combo of the two grannies.
Nice.
Who are Anne and Mary. Not as nice as Anna Maria. Anna Maria is the kind of way of gussying it up to sound.
I like it's got exquisite. Like a Mediterranean flair to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there was nothing Mediterranean about either my granny's, unfortunately. So it's Anna Maria, and then Elizabeth was the confirmation name. Mostly chosen because at the time I really liked Beth from Neighbours. And
Was that Natalie Imbruglia?
Oh yeah. And she was beautiful girl, and I thought, yeah,
I'll have a bit of that.
Anything that brings me closer to that kind of a vibe, I will have.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. And I read that Beth is short for Elizabeth.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Saint Elizabeth, this is how you narrowed down. Because there was so much choice. I mean, there's so much choice.
So much choice.
At 12, pick a name. So much choice. You want Tracy or a Vicky. Back in the 90s, you wanted a Tracy or a Vicky or a Shannon or something kind of hip to the groove. But you were encouraged to go the route of the Catholic saint. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And then to narrow it down even further, you were encouraged to pick the name of a saint whose feast day landed close enough to your birthday.
Now, that was what you were doing.
Just saying it back out loud. What a pile of fucking bollocks. What a pile of cock and balls. Like, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, whatever. They don't want you picking Vicky or Tracy. That's
they don't know.
Why.
We were told, absolutely, it's a saint's name you're taking. Mm-hmm. Get over it. Now, a little bit like the reason that you picked Elizabeth, Saint Bridget was meant to be the hot one of all the saints. And that's why I picked it. Ooh. And she was meant to like animals. And I went, those two things are very important to me. Being hot and being near animals. Not at 12, I wasn't obviously worried about being hot. I wanted to be pretty, like, you know.
Yeah.
Let's just say that now.
Yeah.
But that's, I didn't hear any of this, pick one that's close to you. Pick the feast.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? It could have just been like, the deadline's tomorrow. Write something down. I don't even know if you had to write. I can't even remember back that far. But that was the way it was kind of narrowed down.
Now anybody can. We've given people the tools to steal our identities if they want.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Good luck. I mean, if you think I put a Bridget on any important documentation, you're wrong. Or maybe yeah, I do. That's the thing. Now I've just left it very cryptic. Do I put Bridget or don't I? You try and steal my identity. See how far that takes you. You won't like where you won't like the corners you'll go to. You won't.
You'll find yourself trapped at some stage.
Exactly. And I won't help you out because I'll be living as my new assumed name, Mary Pizza.
Oh! How would you spell pizza? Would you spell it double Z-A?
Yes. Yeah. Like the food.
Okay. Imagine if you spelled it P-E-A-T-S-A. Pizza. but every time you went anywhere, you go, what's your name? Mary Pizza. And they start putting down P-I-Z-Z. And you go, no, hang on. You've got me wrong. It's P-E-A-T-S-A. Or you could spell it as they spell pizza as Gaelic, which is pizza. P-I-O-T-S-A.
P-I-O-T-S-A. That's how they spell pizza.
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 Yeah.
It's a little bit like, you know, when people say, like, who are called Aoife. And some people say, Aoife.
Aoife.
I'll stick to the Italian spelling for Mary Pizza because she's international.
Yeah, yeah. Pizza's like internationally recognised, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
So it's could go in your favour so that when you are somewhere and you go, what's the name? Mary Pizza. They know exactly how to spell your name. There's no spelling. Mm-hmm. There's no can you spell that for me?
Yeah.
Explain for me, please. How you spell your name. It's none of that. You'll never encounter that.
Exactly.
Gotcha. So, yeah, that's a wise move.
If I ever go missing, you look for Mary Pizza.
Okay.
Just that's your cue, Phil.
That'll be your...
wait, she told me.
She told me once.
Oh, what was it again?
Oh, God, what was it? It was Mary something. Mary Burger. No, Mary Lasagna.
Mary Burrito.
What was it now? I wish I'd written it down or recorded it.
Well, she'll have to stay lost now. She'll have to stay lost.
Sorry, Yaz. Or should I say Mary?
Mary. Mary, please get it right. Philippe, it's your turn to go first this week with the old worries. Have you been worrying about this week?
Well, didn't actively worry about this. I was reminded of a worry that I had when I was a child.
Right.
And the reason, okay, I'll just form the background of why I started worrying about this thing in the first place was,
great,
I can't remember how old I was, maybe 8/9. And one day my dad appeared home from work, from the office. Or did he even? He might have come home on a Saturday. I don't know.
He's home. He's home in this story.
And he's carrying a book. And this book was lent to him by a friend. Don't know the friend, can't remember. But I remember asking him, where'd you get this book, Clark? It was giant. It was so big. And it was a book on the paranormal.
Sorry. Your father arrives in the door with a massive in size, like a massive in size book. The paranormal. Okay.
A huge, giant volume of a book.
Right.
On the paranormal. Maybe he'd been to like a meeting of his secret sect or something. I don't know. And they gave him some reading material for the weekend to peruse. I don't know. Anyway, this
And they said to him, listen, I'll be honest with you. You can't put this in your pocket.
This is a two-hand number. And if you're going to lift it off the floor, bend your knees. Protect your back. Okay. So, so he came home with this book and it was huge, like, and it was on the paranormal. Right. And there was aliens, there was ghosts, there was, now I was au fait with ghosts, I was au fait with vampires and werewolves. Right. Now when I say au fait, I don't mean okay. I was not okay with ghosts because I remember the first time I read about ghosts, I didn't sleep for a fortnight. I was about seven.
The first time you ever heard about a ghost? Oh my God, you were up. Who slept through that night?
Not a wink. There was, I remember being in my cousin's house in Dublin and they had that book. I'm going to be really rude. While you're doing your worry, I'm going to Google it because I have to, everyone knows this book. It was like a reference book. It was in most schools and it was about ghosts. And I remember reading
I never
it.
Maybe it was kept away from me because I was too sensitive.
Okay, I'm going to cause
look
a huge
it up.
Delay.
Listen.
I'm going to Google it. Hang on, I'm going to Google it here because I just...
What are you going to look up? Because it's I feel quite left out if everybody knew of this book in RLS.
I think it was an Osborne book.
And it was just ghosts. Ghosts and where to find them.
Yes.
Was it the great big book of Irish ghosts?
Got this. I have it. The World of the Unknown. Ghosts. Ooh. The Ghosts edition. Here. Does this ring any bells to you?
Oh, it does look slightly familiar, but not.
Yes. On the cover, there's a screaming skull. Mm-hmm. There's the apparition of a monk. There's strange happenings and a candle been blown out. Don't know what's strange about that because everyone knows candles.
I mean,
blow
that
out.
Could just be after a dinner party. That's not unknown. That's just
space
blown
safety
out.
Yeah, or your average, your birthday party. Haunted houses, etc. Right. So in that book, there was ghost photography of like pictures of famous photographs of ghosts.
Oh, and my shit.
And as I went flitting through it there were certain sections of the paranormal I was fine with. Okay, I'd encountered them before and they weren't new to me. But there was a section that was very new to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was between Loch Ness Monster and fucking alien abduction. I don't know. But it was spontaneous human combustion.
Oh.
So I read the section on spontaneous human combustion. And I went,
oh no, of all the people.
Oh.
Upon that.
You have me clocked. I was like, so I was like 8, 9, whatever. I don't know what age. But I was just like, sorry now. Of all the things in life that can happen to one, do you mean to also tell me that without you even knowing, you could just blow up in the night? Into flames, and then all that's left of you in the morrow is a pile of ash and your feet in slippers, because they're the only pictures. If you Google
spontaneous human combustion,
it's all that. It's just like fragments of your body left with a pile of ash. And
what's the? Sorry to interrupt, Phil, but it's just pressing on my mind. What are the symptoms that one could be leaning up to a spontaneous combust?
Well, you see, nobody knows because nobody survives. So it's not like if someone could say, oh, before I blew up into flame, I did an itchy elbow or I had slept awful bad the night before. You know, I had too much sherry with the dinner. you know, there's nobody to kind of recount this, unfortunately, because it's just so destructive.
Has anyone, do you know anyone who's spontaneously human combusted?
Well,
or
not personally, no.
Has it phased out?
No. This is the thing. Years ago in Galway, in the west of Ireland, a man died.
Right.
And it was the only, it was like went to the coroner's court and there was the only explanation that could be given.
Was that he?
Yeah.
A man in Ireland.
Terrifying.
That is.
Terrifying. Yeah. It's just so bloody weird. It's just
so
weird.
I've got so many questions.
Yeah.
I mean, like two.
like what causes it? They don't know.
What causes it? And does anyone ever know? Or like, you know, my cousin, that happened to my cousin. But if it's in Galway, right. I'm sure we know someone who knows that man.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was like, okay. So when you read in a reference book, you go, spontaneous human combustion. That is potentially the thing of legend, right?
Yeah.
And there's all these stories saying it happened here, it happened here, it happened here. And the most recent one was like in the 70s. But when I saw it in the newspaper in the last decade, and it was in Galway, I didn't grow up far from Galway. I was like, excuse, what?
Yeah.
So it's not the thing of legend. It's still out there as
it's
a thing.
It's eerie that it's happened in Galway. I mean, first of all, here was me laughing it up, Phil, when you said spontaneous human combustion.
It's human combustion.
And now I'm just going, What if someone he was related to is listening to this podcast and they're going, oh, laugh it up, you
exactly.
bitch.
Exactly. Exactly.
Happened to my uncle. Died. I mean, we both said uncle. We're feeling that he's strong uncle vibes from this guy, even though we don't know him.
So when I was a child, I read this.
Right.
I went, oh my God, that's horrendous. Mm-hmm. Plus the visuals of it to go with it, all the pictures and all this. So I spent the next few weeks having awful trouble going to sleep at night because I was just worrying, going, what if I explode? What if I explode
when
now?
You're worrying and you don't get warm.
Yes. And I would touch my face. Excuse me, my voice cracked the motion there. I would touch my face. I would touch my, you know where your neck meets your chest. I would touch my décolletage.
What's that called? Décolletage.
Décolletage. I would touch that.
Do you call it décolletage on a small child though? Or is it just chest?
Chest.
Décolletage seems like a lady word.
Well, when we were kids, you would have been called your front. Hold that t-shirt up against your front there. See it as a face. See, put it on. Try it on there. Up against your front. So I used to touch the top of my front. And yeah, I was probably warm due to stress. Also warm due to the fact that I'm in bed. And then I would touch my ears. I remember touching my ears and they would also be hot. But then it's only years within hindsight that I realised my ears run hot anyway. So
right, so that they weren't a good barometer or thermometer to check.
Bum cue, yeah. Oh. So, and then I used to resort to my faultless kind of safety seeking behaviour, which was, if I count to 10 and I haven't exploded, maybe there'll be maybe there's hope yet for the night. So I used to lie there in bed going, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I was dragging it out because like that would give me, you know, extra long time to live. 6, 7, 8.
I'm not going 1 to 3. I'm prepared to see if this could happen.
Yeah. And then I get to 10. I go, okay, we're still here. We're still intact. We haven't blown up yet. 1, 2, 3.
So it wasn't like, if I haven't exploded after 10, I'm going to drop it and leave it. You were like, no. Are you just going to continue on that loop of 10s?
Went back into 10s, yeah. I could have just kept counting. No, but I was a child. This is the mind of a child at
work.
This
is the mind of a child. Yes, yeah.
And then
so
if I heard...
I'm sorry this happened to you.
It's fine. It was just one of many things I worried about as a kid. And if there was a parent walking past the room, I'd go, come in here a sec. And I'd dress it up as though I was inviting them in for something else, as in going, oh, you wouldn't believe
it. Just a quick catch up.
You wouldn't believe what happened at school today. God, we got the worst homework. Oh my God.
Anyway, sit down at the end of the bed. I just want to ask you.
I would go, give me your hand. Do I feel hot here in the face? Does the top of my front feel hot? And they'd be like, no, you feel fine. I'd go, yeah, grand. And then if they said, why are you asking? I would never dare say out loud, to be honest with you, ma'am, to be honest with you, dad, what I'm really worried about at the moment is that I might burst into flame and like die. I knew that if I said that out loud, I would look ridiculous. So I knew that the worry was totally ridiculous. Didn't stop it from like completely consuming me.
As you're saying, when you say to a tiny child, listen, people can sometimes they just burst into flames and that's it. That's the end. Don't really know why it happens. So, yeah, that's it. That's the only information I have. Go on. Pop off. You'll be grand.
On about your day.
You just go, that's going to... Because when you're a kid, everything revolves around you. So you're just naturally going to think, well, it's going to happen to me because I'm the centre of my world. It's not going to happen to someone far away. But that's...
Yeah. This happens in the world, says the book. So naturally it could come after me. This is potentially my fate.
Also, that your dad comes in with anything, you're going to go, whatever he's reading is factual information.
I think it was something to do with the fact that he brought the book home. So it was like, to be honest, I doubt he even opened the book at once.
Where did he ever say where he got it from?
No, it was a friend. I remember it was a friend, though. It went back eventually. Like, we didn't have it forever. She was only on loan.
Men are shocking into UFOs, aren't they? God love them, but they seem to love them.
Are they?
I mean, women, like, let's not, I'm not going to just say it's one gender, but it seems to be men who love a UFO.
Maybe woman, it's gadgetry.
Woman, just the one, love vampires.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're kinda dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Oldman and Dracula. Yes, please.
Oh, I love that film.
Me too. I watched it recently and I thought, this is great. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. And also, it has Keanu Reeves.
It has Keanu Reeves. Do you remember years ago in the RT Guide, they used to have a movie review section. But what they do is they would just print the same reviews. So if they, like if you had the same, and it made sense. Like, why would you do different reviews for movies if you had Bram Stoker's, I said it again, Bram Stoker. I said that before, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bam Stoker.
And then like 2 years later, some other channel was playing it. But the same, it's the same film.
Oh, of course.
But they had in it, and me and my sister used to piss ourselves. They always had in it, a dig at Keanu Reeves's accent, and they used to say, they used to phonetically spell out, "Is the castle far?" Because that's one of his lines. And I always think about that when I think of Dracula. Is the castle far?
Oh God, I won't be able to watch that film again. I'll be like hanging on tenterhooks
for that line. Early on, so, Phil. Though before we wrap up this worry, though, I just want to know: is there any present day fear of spontaneous human combustion?
No, you see, I should have taken a clue from the title, spontaneous. Right, anything that is by nature spontaneous. There's fuck all you can do about it.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, it was just classic worry because I knew it was a stupid thing to worry about because I daren't say it out loud for the fear of having the piss taken out of me. And I still do the exact same thing. I worry about absolutely stupid things that I internalize and mull over and torture myself with. Because I know if I said it out loud, somebody would go, you know, are you honestly worrying about that? Like, that is so, that's what this podcast is about, is saying the things out loud that you're like, God, am I the only one who worries about that kind of shit? Like, or is this, by nature being a human, it's bound to be common because we all are more similar than we think we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just classic worry.
It's classic worry. It's like, I like that it was an old school worry because it's those kinds of things, I think, as a child, when you're anxious, that, you know, they say that thing, show me the child at seven and I'll show you the man.
Oh.
And it's like, who we are when we're seven is pretty much, unless we actively seek to change, because everything that you believe about the world is downloaded into you by the time you're seven.
Mm.
Which is, I know, it's crazy.
God, I'm going to spend the rest of the night thinking about what I was up to when I was seven.
That's all I do. As a navel-gazing so-and-so, I'm always like, and then that happened, and that's what I believe. That's why I believe that thing about that thing.
Oh.
But it's
the
interesting.
The formative year.
The formative years. But they, it's exactly what you say about shame. That thing of, like, don't say it to anybody because it's so embarrassing. Hmm. Whereas when you say it, people go, oh yeah, I absolutely 100% understand that.
I think I would have been kind of pushed to find somebody in my class who was worrying about similar things, you know. Guys, anyone here? There's 31 of us here. Guys, anyone here also worrying about consumed? Is anyone else consumed by spontaneous human combustion at the moment? No, I'm the only one. Okay, grand. That's fine. Just, no, it's not even me. I was asking for a friend. My cousin in Dublin. Yeah.
Yeah. Something but I bet you if you, they probably didn't know, but if you'd said it, they'd all be bricking it. They'd all be bricking
it. Oh, yeah. If I told them, I would have ruined a lot of people's night's sleep, I'd say.
I would have been worried. I think it's a legitimate young worry. I mean, now if you were saying that, I'd go, okay, I think it's time to let that one go. But it was age appropriate.
Yeah. I don't know what happened during the week that made me think of it. And I went, oh God, yeah, I remember worrying about that. And then I just realised it's like, it doesn't matter the subject matter. It was just same old pattern, classic worry. Find something you find distressing. Hang on to it. Internalise it. Feel awful about it. Don't share it because you think you're a freak and you're the only one who worries about those things. And then just struggle through until it kind of dissipates.
See, this is the thing that I think we all need to be aware of is that your sneaky little bastard mind, not yours, Phil, I mean one's sneaky little bastard mind, says, don't you dare open your mouth. And so you suffer with these things that as soon as it happened to me recently, I was beating myself up for something for months. And I was out with the sister and I said it to her. I said, I feel this way. I feel not good. I feel not good enough because this thing happened. And I've been so ashamed of it. And I don't want to say anything to anybody. And she just looked at me and she went, oh, I totally understand that. Yeah, of course. Like, I get it. But like, it's and then also when I said it, I was able to go, of course, that's not my fault. And of course, that doesn't mean I'm not good enough. That's just and it had held me prisoner for ages. I was obsessively thinking about it and I couldn't let it go. And then it was that moment where you just think, oh, look, my back's up against the wall. I'm just going to fucking say it because it's causing me pain now. So
yeah, that's the thing about shame. It wants to keep you in a cupboard. It just wants to make you really small, and it makes you just want to sit away from everyone else and keep yourself away from everyone else and keep yourself small. I haven't read anything about shame in a long time, but Brené Brown has a really good book on it.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She does good stuff on shame. And it's that thing of like, I daren't say it because I'm so ashamed of this thing. It makes me, you know, lesser than, it makes me inadequate. And because humans are hardwired to be part of a group and to be included, if we fear anything, if we are holding on to anything that we fear will make us rejectable, we especially won't say it out loud because we're afraid that, like, if I let that out, I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be seen as disgusting. I'm going to be seen as, like, unacceptable. And that's death. But then, surprise, surprise, you say it out loud. And against all your, like, internal advice, don't say it, don't say it. And then you finally say it. And then it's like, oh, actually, not only am I not the only one who's ever felt this way, but I'm actually accepted more because I have shared
it completely. I think that that's the thing that we're which is actually worrying about the present moment, the current climate that we're living in, is like with social media, the whole thing is I have to show my life as a perfect thing. I have to keep, this is where I went last night. This is what I wore. This is, you know, how much money I make. And you don't connect with people through perfection. You connect with people through relatability. Is that a word? Sometimes I'm more.
I know what you're saying.
But just kind of going, this is your humanity is the thing that connects you, and your and your vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Brené Brown says as well. So I'm just nicking her word.
That's the word. Vulnerability.
So more words willy-nilly, Phil.
Willy-nilly.
You'll subscribe to our podcast.
You know, it's all about how to get the most out of your partner.
And we're partners.
So we know all about it.
It's good. Get it wherever you want to get it, when you go and get it from your podcast place. Richard and Greta.
You know?
You know?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Thank you.
What are you worried about this week?
Well, it only happened today, so I feel like I'm bringing a fresh worry to the table.
It's fresh.
Mm. It's kind of like, how do I even start? So I was doing a meeting, right? A meeting about my work. And so I don't really want to say, so I was having this meeting with the people that I work with, and I had to basically just go through all my projects and say what was going on. So I'm a writer. I'm a screenwriter. And I was doing that. And so all that was happening was they go, okay, so this project, Jazz, like what's going on with it? Like where in development is it? Tell us a few lines about what the story is. And I felt so, and I had emailed them before with it. So everybody had it. I know what they're all about because I've been working on them. But it was like I was in school, and every time they said, okay, so what's this next one about? I go, and I was like, it's even happened to me now, but like words left me.
Yes.
And I started to stumble. And at one point, I forgot the word autumn.
Oh.
And I went, so it could happen April. No, sorry, August. No, sorry. It's the other A word. It's not winter. It's,
anywhere between late August and early November, that time frame, you know, when Halloween and...
Halloween, I went, I want to say fall. They say that in America.
So you just slipped into like word association.
Yeah. And eventually I got to autumn. But I'm going, here's me trying to convince these people that I'm a good writer. And I've lost all ability to speak or have any words flowing. And I do it on this podcast. I do quite a bit where I talk very fast. And I use 50 words where I could use 5. So I tend to like word vomit an awful lot. And I just kind of felt like I had to have a word with myself about the whole imposter syndrome thing.
Oh, yeah.
And feeling like, again, not qualified or not educated enough to be kind of in charge of my work in that way. And to just sit there and go, yeah. Relaxed. I know how to give a 2-line summary of these things and to say that's doing that, that's there, and so that's it. Everybody's on my side. Everybody just wants to like nobody's there to go, excuse me, you used that word instead of that word. Call yourself a writer.
It's autumn.
Yeah, the word is autumn. And then afterwards, of course, I sent an email and said, I'm so sorry, I can't believe I couldn't think of the word autumn. I'm so embarrassed. But it's, I don't know. I think sometimes I didn't go to university. I left school and I had one of those dreams the other night about being in school and saying to my mom, I think I want to leave. Can I leave school early? Because I don't really want to be in school, like I'm not doing anything there. Because I knew I was always going to be creative. I didn't really know. I thought it was, you know, I wanted to be an actor, but I just knew that I was kind of wasting my time in school because it was kind of like every so often I'd go in and do a tour. I'd say hi to some people. But other than that,
you check in, lah.
I'd check in, but I played truant an awful lot.
Did you?
Oh my God, Phil, I was renowned for it. I used to go in, do a couple of classes and think to myself, oh, that's enough. I've
touched base. I'm off away now.
And my mom used to work. She worked one day on, one day off. And she would be gone from like 7 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. So she'd be even gone before we got out of bed. So sometimes my mom would go to work and she'd go, you know, yeah, it's time to get up. And I go, okay. And then I'd hear her leave and I just get straight back into bed again. And I learned how to forge her signature. So I was able to write myself all the notes you could possibly need in the world.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes there's a part of me, I mean, even when I worry about making up words, I always think that there's something quite academic about being a writer that obviously you don't really have when you're an actor. I mean, obviously there's very well educated actors, but I think it's just that thing of being, you're meant to be smart. And I do think of myself as being smart, but I don't think of myself as being educated because I'm not, because I basically tapped out of school and the want to learn at about 14 and went and did my leaving cert. But it was a complete waste of everybody's time. And then I just kind of arsed around, then moved here and went to drama school. But it was But yeah, it's the thing of how did this person who had no fucking life plan and no ability to I don't know, to be in a, like in a meeting thing, talking about things and projects and stuff. I don't know. It sounds like, again, I always fucking worry that it sounds like I'm a bit fucking humble bragging on this thing. I'm just going, my projects boobs. I don't know.
What I was going to say to you when you first started saying like it was the meeting and whatever, I was just going to ask you, was the voice in the head saying, you don't deserve this fucking meeting. What are you doing on this meeting? Why do you have these people on Zoom listening to you talking? Why would you do that now? Why would you be having that? All that shit. Like, it's all that. The voice.
Yeah. It's like
telling you to sit in the box and just stay there.
I totally. It was like, this is a waste of people's time. I'm trying to get better at it. Being apologetic as soon as I arrive on a Zoom call.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And you sent the email going, sorry about the loss of the word.
Yeah. Autumn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I only recently, like in the last couple of years, I've realized that when I am meeting anybody, whether it be in the flesh or on a Zoom call, I don't have to go into jokes straight away. Like we can just sit there and have a nice conversation and then get on with our meeting. I don't have to entertain anybody who comes into my orbit. It's not my job to try and make other people. Like I used to be like guilty of trying to MC a conversation.
Right. Like it sounds like that before the conversation has even started, you feel like you have to prove why you're there.
Yes.
Whereas you should be walking into the conversation going, I have as much right to be in this conversation. Like, guess what? There's two people here. Yeah. I'm here and they're there. And if they're there, I'm definitely here. Don't know if that makes any sense, but like, you know, you would assume the other person has the permission, but you're the only one who's asking, like, and where's your ticket? You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there anyone coming into the room going, sorry, to the other person going, sorry, excuse me, what are you doing here?
Exactly.
You always feel like you're going to get kicked out.
Yes. And it became very apparent to me because it was a room full of people who are there for me to help me. You know, I mean, it wasn't any, there was no judgment. It was just a simple like rundown of what was going on. That was it. That's all I had to say. And so I wasn't trying to sell anything. No one was trying to sell me anything. It wasn't a pitch meeting or anything like that. So yeah, it was, I don't know. It's just one of those things where you just say to yourself, why, like, when am I going to give myself that permission? As you're talking about, like, no, like everybody else is allowed to be in this room. It's all right if I can't think of words. It's all right if I'm not incredibly articulate. No, like no one is there as the word police going, you said but I think you mean yet.
You see, the thing is this meeting can only go ahead if you remember all your words. And you had one chance to like fuck it up and you just did it. So
sorry
Zoom,
about that.
Zoom call is over.
Could you click leave, please? You click leave?
Leave meeting. It's up there on the top left. Left. someone had now, do you know, and this is the podcast where we're ripping off everybody else's teachings, but
listen, we're helping them all come together at the same time in the same place.
Thoughts in a thought soup. Somebody had a phrase, I don't know if it's Oprah or somebody that Oprah spoke to. He narrows it down, isn't it?
Gail or Steadman or one of those people.
Yeah, or again, Brené Brown.
Brené Brown could be, they're good friends.
Yes. Whenever you're in the room and you're like, oh my God, look at all these people that I'm with. What am I doing here? Look at that person over there. Look at that person over there.
Burn it to the ground.
No.
Okay, no, sorry. You sorry.
Yeah.
You say.
No, it was, remember, you're not in the room by accident.
Oh,
it might feel like you are because it might feel like the way you got there was purely by accident. Because what you were saying there was like, I left school, I did this. It shouldn't have worked out. Thing is, it did work out, right? That's all you have to worry about. It did work out. Forget about how you got there. Thing is, you're there.
Yeah.
And you didn't get there by accident. So if you're in the room, you're meant to be in the room. So yes. You just remind yourself that. I'm in this room. That's fact.
End of story.
End of story. But like, who says I don't deserve to? Yeah, actually, tap into that. We always talk about this. The cheeky 15-year-old girl that's within your own brain that goes, I am meant to be here. Shut up. That side who just fights back, do you know?
Yeah.
Yes. That's not in a belligerent way, but just.
But no, I think it's that same 15-year-old girl when, she was playing truant and going, I know I live in a small town in Ireland, but fuck that. I'm leaving. I'm going to do it on my way. Like, there had to be something where inside of me that went, I know that everybody thinks I'm nuts for doing this, but I'm just going to go and give it a go because I might as well, you know. And that's what I've always kind of thought as well with life is, well, why don't I try and do the thing that I want to do? Because I, like, if I fail at it, fine. But it, like, I'm only getting this one life. So, like, let's just give it a go.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know.
You just don't want to wake up in your older years and be like, I should have just done that fucking thing.
Yeah.
I should have just done it.
I'm looking at the moment at my kind of, it ties into what we were saying about, what you were saying about, it's just gone out of my head because I did a time check.
Oh, no.
No, but we're fine. We're fine. We've got some time. But about the, 0 to 7 downloading into your mind. I'm looking at the things that I started to believe about the world and myself in the world. And I think I'm trying to unpick those things now and just think, like, there's a lot of stuff about not feeling good enough.
Especially if you ask yourself, okay, so if you spent an afternoon going, oh God, these ways that I feel about myself. For example, I didn't feel like I deserved to be on that call the last day.
Yeah.
Or I thought I did a shit job at that call. I'm a fucking idiot. I did a shit fucking Zoom. Sorry, my language is atrocious.
No, it's listen, everyone's an adult here. And if you're not, please stop listening there.
Apologies. Apologize. So if you said to yourself, these are my main things. I don't feel worthy enough, et cetera, et cetera. And you go down through your list of obstacles. And you could look at them through the filter of, now, was that originated from 0 to 7?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that something that happened as an adult? And I'm just wondering now, you know, you could pin a lot of that down to just, young mind stuff. Like, yes. young stuff
Totally, because I think that there's like the original sin, the thing that you the day or the month or the year that you decided that you weren't good enough, or you decided you weren't lovable when you were way back when, and then you accumulated over time more kind of confirmation bias that thing was true. Correct. And I think if you can go back and look at that.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a thing called revision at the moment, which is like you go back to something.
Do you have a test coming up?
Because I'll fail it because I've played through it. But it's like you pick some life event, right? So something that you learned about yourself, like if you have abandonment issues, as I do, or, feeling not good enough. And then you pick a point, or you pick a thing that you can ascribe that to, like, for example, with my dad left when I was 18 months old, and I met him like a couple of times in my life, but I was thinking I have these abandonment issues, and it plays out again and again. It plays out that in relationships, whether they be romantic or friendships, I get very frightened that people are going to leave me, so sometimes I leave first, and that kind of thing. So I've been looking at the fact that I need to go back and revise that situation with my dad and make the outcome different. So I have to not be abandoned. Now, that sounds fucking crazy, because how can I not be abandoned by my dad? He abandoned me. So if I was going to go back and say, well, that didn't happen, it's like, well, do I just pretend that my dad was with me for my entire childhood? It's like, no, you pick something in your head that would symbolize to you that your dad stayed, or that, you know, that thing didn't happen, or that person didn't die, or whatever. And then you just loop that and play it in your head and just allow that to kind of like go into your subconscious mind, because basically all your subconscious mind wants to know is that it's over. It's going to keep playing out the scenario again and again because you're keeping it active, because it thinks it's something really important that you need to be aware of.
That you can't forget. Because
it's like a wound that's not healed. So when you kind of give yourself an end to the story by saying, actually, my dad did stay, even though it's a weird little thing, that a little like symbolic, like 5 second thing that I can do in my head. I'm not explaining it well because I basically don't want to say what it is because it's personal. Then it gives your mind the closure it needs to move on. So I'm hoping for positive change, Phil. I mean, that's all I'm ever hoping for.
Yeah, I can think of one just straight off the bat there. I spent years thinking that I was disgusting. Like,
how did that hurts my heart.
So this is one thing that is seared into my brain. We're on the boat, the ferry, I think, to France when we were kids, small. And I used to get travel sick. I'd say I was only about 6 or 7. And I was feeling awful queasy and I was going to get sick. And I said to my dad, I was like, Dad, I probably didn't say it. I probably started doing the, you know, the retching motion.
Yeah.
And my dad I just remember my dad grabbed me by the arm and pulling me like to the nearest door to go out on deck. So I would get sick on deck. In the breeze.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
You know.
Outside.
And I remember him pulling me along to the nearest door to get out on deck. And I couldn't keep it down anymore. And I did a mini vom onto the, what was this? Like, you know, like fairy carpet.
Yeah.
You know, like something out of The Shining, you know. And
yes.
Like pattern.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I did this little barf onto the carpet, and I looked up and there was a group of older girls. Like, do you know when you're like 7 and like older girls are like everything, because judging.
They've got all the secrets in the world.
Oh yeah. And I looked up and there was about 3 of them, and they had seen that I'd just done the barf, and the look of disgust on their face, as in like, that is so disgusting. And I was just thinking in that moment, I just went, I'm disgusting.
Oh, Phil.
I'm disgusting. Oh, no. And I kept that, like, and that's like what you're saying there, original sin, right? So I judged myself in that moment and I said, I'm disgusting. And I'd say as I went through the years, I found other examples of, yep, you see, that's it. You're disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God knows what those girls were thinking. I've absolutely no idea. They could have just been like, oh God, there's a child that got sick.
Yeah.
You know, but in my mind, they were looking at me going, she's gross.
Oh,
and
no.
But it's all that stuff that you internalize and you judge yourself with, and
totally, yeah. And you make it mean something about you, whereas it's just not. It's just it's like because all of those because beliefs are beliefs, but they're not facts.
No.
So anything that you believe about yourself, if you actually do a bit of a deep dive, and not even a deep dive, if you just ask yourself, it's the Byron Katie. She does the work. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's a few questions to ask yourself around
the belief. Yeah.
But one of them is the same. It's the same question twice.
Yes.
I don't remember.
It's something is there anything I can do about it now or something?
Is there anything I can do about it now?
But is there?
But that's a very good way to interrogate all of these things, where you just go, that is something that just, and especially when you can see the pattern of it, where you just go, oh, I've done that again and again.
So next time I feel disgusting and go, oh God, I feel disgusting, I can just go, look at.
It's like whatever you needed to do, whatever little visualization you need to have to convince yourself that, so whether it's you didn't get sick. Or
those girls weren't looking at me. They were looking at something else.
Yes, those girls were gone. Whatever it might be, it just means that you play the story out differently in your head and you say to your mind, and that's now done. We don't need to carry that shame on us, because basically I think, and I will stop when I say this, Phil, because we're running out of time, but it's like your brain is looking for a solution to a problem it thinks it still has.
Oh,
and when
yes.
you kind of say, it's okay, that problem doesn't exist anymore, it goes, okay, let me go and obsess about what to get for dinner or whatever that might be.
So it's just running on silent in the background.
Totally.
Until something nudges it awake.
Yes, and just goes, yeah, thanks very much. Fuck off now. Fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck off very much. Fuck off.
And we'll leave it at that. Leave us, if you want to email us.
Yes, it's weheartworry@gmail.com. Is that right?
We don't have to. We don't have to finish on that. I just thought it'd be funny if
we just finished. Went, fuck off. Yeah, fuck off. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it is a good point to end on because, look, we've told everybody all that we can tell them. We've helped as much as we possibly can. And we hope that was helpful to any of you that are listening out there in podcast land.
Yeah.
If you do want to email us, please do. If you don't, it's completely up to you. We'll not force you.
It's fine. Look, everything's fine.
If everything's is fine. That's no a nice pressure. Way to leave it, Phil. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Especially than fuck off, isn't it? Everything's fine.
Listen, guys, we love you lots.
Thank you for listening. If you like this thing, this show, this podcast show, tell a friend.
Tell a friend or a loved one.
Yeah.
And also,
you don't have to tell them to listen. Just tell them.
Yeah, just tell them you're enjoying this podcast. And no press.
No press.
Right, we'll leave it there. Lots of love. Okay, lots of love.
Okay, God bless. Okay.
Bye. Bye, guys. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Heavy Pencil.
An actor of my experience, you just get wrung dry.
A podcast sitcom with Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
I played Edmund Gelder, and he played Fanny Snatch.
The Observer called it a lovely thing. Wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
I'm not having any more of this. I need you to pull me off immediately.
Heavy Pencil from Great Big Owl.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.